Amen. Before we begin, we want to pray this morning. There's a sister over in Point Noir in Congo, and she has she has cancer of the larynx. We want to pray for her. We want to pray for William Bates and his whole family, because he's down with chicken pox, and so they don't want to spread it. That's why they're not here. And we want to pray for all the sisters that are traveling. They're on vacation this week. And so is there any other request that we forgot? Okay. Well, let's just bow our heads in prayer one more time. Father, we just commit, Lord, all the healings that we've requested to your keeping, knowing that they were already performed at Calvary. They were already done. It's a done deal, and so we just have to accept it. And so we accept it for them vicariously in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're going to go back to paragraph 62 of Satan's Eden. And I've got a sermon called Two Veils and Two Outcomes. And so Brother Branham said, notice now the Holy Spirit of God's holy word had a man and woman naked and didn't know it. How beautiful. Life of the word, the seed, the word. Now notice this powerful attribute of the veil in Eden. They were completely naked, and yet there was a veil of innocence over their minds, and they didn't even know it. Like two babies who are actually naked and don't know it. But in Laodicea, the veil over their eyes, they are also naked and don't know it, because they are also blind and miserable. Now tell me, I don't think Adam and Eve were miserable, okay? So tell me if that doesn't describe worldly people today. Now, we know that Satan only perverts that which is right. So just as in God's Eden, there was a nakedness in his first Eden, so Satan has chosen this main attribute to pervert nakedness in this last hour of Satan's Eden. So he perverts everything. And so he has used his own veil of tradition and creeds to once again blind man by veiling him to his naked condition in this last hour through their religious perversions. They might dress right to give the appearance of holiness and even wear their hair right or correctly, but through wicked religious practices, they show that they are naked and blind to their own spiritual state. Now, Revelation 3:14 says, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." You know, people seem to think, well, I'm rich and increased with goods, but yet it says they're poor. Now, how is that? Well, they're all in debt. This world is in debt. And indebtedness, the Bible says that, the debtor is a servant to the lender. So we see in this last church age, there are two attributes that reflect the Eden condition. The church is both naked and they are blind to their own condition. So as in God's Eden, they were blind to their condition of being naked. And now at the end time, in Satan's Eden, they are both blind and naked again. Now there are two veils, and both do the same thing. One is induced by God, while the other is induced by Satan. Yet both are approved by God, because Satan can't put anything on you that is not first approved by God. Now, he would send them, because God would send them a strong delusion, okay? And so I counsel thee, he says, to buy me gold and try it in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, which is the word, that thou mayest be clothed. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, which Brother Branham told us, the Holy Ghost, that thou mayest see. And remember, that's 1 Corinthians 2, which tells us no man can understand the things of God unless the Holy Ghost is in him. So that So that is your eye salve to see and understand with. Now in this age, they are counseled to put on a white garment, and that the shame of thy of this nakedness does not appear. And white raiment is said to be righteousness, or the right wiseness of the saints, which is, of course, the correct understanding of the word. Now, Laodicean Church, Brother Branham said, but you walk up to them and say, hey, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they say, what are you, holy roller? Well, say, what do you mean? Don't you talk to me like that? I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a Baptist. I'm so-and-so and so-and-so. Naked and don't know it. Now, I never said that. The Bible said that, that of this age. Naked and don't know it. Come buy some clothes for me, he said, white raiment. White raiment belongs to the saints. It's the righteousness of the saints. See, nakedness, or naked. Oh, sure, yes. Oh, you say, Brother Bram, not our church. It's the best dressed church in the city. I wouldn't doubt that. Some of the latest fashions, the best cut material, and the latest Hollywood stars wear. So sexy you'd attract the attention of every man on the street. Uh-huh. Why, sure. One lady said to me, Brother Branham, do you mean to tell me, now we buy these dresses out of the store and that's all you can buy? And I said, they still sell goods and make sewing machines. That's not much excuse for that. Okay, so a vindicated prophet told us their white raiment was the righteousness of the saints. In other words, we are to be dressed in the white raiment, which stands for the purity of the word. He goes on, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. This is the hour where we are asked to make repentance, to change our minds. Now back to Satan's Eden, Brother Brown continues, said, there's a tree in the midst of the garden, the woman and the midst of the tree, and in the midst of the tree is this tree. Don't even touch it, for the day you eat thereof, the day you die. They were wholly veiled from it. They didn't know nothing about it, darens to touch it. They were wholly veiled. They were safe in God's pavilion. They were alive. They had no death around them. Hallelujah. They had a perfect love for one another, perfect life forever. They had perfect love, perfect understanding of the love of God. And by putting on the white raiment of righteousness in this hour, we enter into the same atmosphere where they had perfect love because they had a perfect word. So because we have a perfect word, we have that perfect love that goes with it. Now, they had God's word and kept it. And they were alive and safe in God's Eden with no death at all around them. Then Satan got Eve to listen to his gospel of theology, the gospel of knowledge, higher schooling, higher ethics, better civilization, higher education, and so forth. So when he got her to stop and listen to him a minute, to his reasoning, which we are commanded to cast down, when he got her to listen to it, and of course 2 Thessalonians 10:5 says, casting down imagination and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I believe that's where we're getting right now. And I'm very thankful that we are seeing the quotes daily, because it gets you to focus back your day, you know, three times a day at least. You're focusing back, because in the old times they used to pray three times a day, and so we're getting our focus back, and we're constantly thinking about what God is doing for us. Then Brother Brown continues. Now looky here, the church is so and so, and it's established for so long that we're one of the oldest churches in the country. The mayor of the city goes to this. No, I don't care what it is, see? If it's against God's word, be against it. That's your enemy. You hear that? That's your enemy. Anything that's against the word is your enemy. Everything that's for the word is your brother. He's a part of you. Now notice, she pulled off the holy veil to see what sex really was. Compare that. What lust really would be. She pulled the veil from off of her eyes. The holy thing that God had put over her eyes, she wanted knowledge to know what it was all about. So she pulled the veil off to see what kind it was all about. So the only problem is this, is that she replaced the holy veil of the Holy Ghost with a veil Satan had given her, which was a veil of traditions and creeds. In 2 Corinthians 3:13 says, "And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil was to be done away in Christ." You see, the law is the word Torah, and it means the instructions of the Father. And they made it into the theology of God, okay, or about God. And so they turned to intellectualism and traditions and creeds and doctrines and whatever they could explain their traditions by, or they could explain their theology. But it's actually the instructions of the Father, and they just completely miss it altogether. Now, from the unveiling of God, the veil tradition of unbelievers taken away, you see God. When the veil of traditions has been removed, you can see that God is still God of his word. You know, like I said, the Jewish religion is, it's just all traditions. The Catholic religion is all traditions. I mean, you walk down the aisle, you genuflect, and you go in. You know, and then they got kneelers there for your knees because, you know, they do certain things and everybody kneels down, then everybody, you know, stands up again or sits down, stand up, sit down, rah, rah, rah. You know, it's just all traditions. Just like the Jewish religion, just like the Muslims, okay? He's a God. God, he still keeps his word, okay? He's still the God of his word. He's a God, author of his word, that's hid behind skin veils to others. Yes, that's right. To those who cannot go behind the veil, he's still behind skin veils, all right? And from unveiling of God, he said, in order to do this, our denominational traditional veils must be broke by God's spirit of fire and sword, which is his word. Always his word is his sword. See, he took his sword that day full of fire and ripped that veil from top to bottom. So he does the same thing with the word today, with the sword today. Not my book of creed, not my catechism, but the sword of the Lord, see, rips the veils down. And you see God standing in plain view, manifested in his word. What a glorious view to look at it, see? All right, God's Holy Spirit and fire, his sword rips it. The word rips the denominational veil. But even unto this day, now we're back to the scripture, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall return to the Lord, or turn to the Lord, that's your heart, the veil shall be taken away. And what's your heart? It's your understanding. So when your understanding comes back to what the scripture is actually saying, all right, the veil is taken away. And remember, Malachi 4 turns the hearts of the children to the fathers. So this is the hour that the heart receives a change. Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with an open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, from doxa to doxa, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we go from our doxa, our thinking, our opinions to his, okay? It's like when I left the Catholic Church, you know, they were all full of traditions and stuff like that. And the very first thing when I read my Bible is I started clicking off a list of things that we shouldn't be doing. They're just traditions, all right? So when the Spirit, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with an open face, no more traditions, okay? Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, the opinions of the Lord, are changed into the same image. So what's happening is we are becoming sons of God when we leave all those traditions behind. So no veils, no traditions, no creeds. So you see, we are to be changed from doxa to doxa, from opinion to and values of the church to the opinions and values of God, who is the Word. Then he says, she listened to the devil and noticed what a place it put her in. They have done the same in each age thereafter, always taking the intellectual side, and has now built a kingdom of Satan knowledge, his seed that he has sowed, and has taken the word to be an Eden of death, or the world, excuse me, to be an Eden of death. Again, from the unveiling, Brother Branham said, Moses had the word. Now, remember, after the word was made manifest, and Moses was Moses again, see? But while the word was in him, he gave it out, he was God. He wasn't Moses no more. He had the word of the Lord for that age. Nothing could touch him till that was over, had that word with him. So therefore, when he come, the people turned their heads and they couldn't understand. He'd been changed. He was different fellow. He come with that word. And he put a veil, the Bible said, over his face, for he had the word. And he was the word to them. And now look, if Moses, if brother, here's going to be an insult, but if Moses, as Paul said here in 2 Corinthians 3, the chapter, if Moses had to veil his face with that type of glory upon him, see, that type of glory, that type of opinion, values, and judgment of God, see, because he was natural glory, that was a natural law. And if Moses, knowing what the law had to perish, or knowing that the law had to perish, but the glory was so great that it blinded the people, so they had to put a veil over his face, how much more will it be, spiritual blinded people, that glory was to fade away, but this glory won't fade away. See, Moses had the carnal law, the condemnation, no grace, no nothing. It just condemned you. But this we're speaking about, that had no pardon, that just told you what you was, this gives you a way out. And when that word is unveiled, oh my, what kind of a face will it be? It'll have to be veiled. It's got to be veiled. Now notice, so the Spirit is veiled in a human temple. See, he speaks to the natural words with a natural veil. And again, from the unveiling of God. Now notice, death to stay away from it. Now, you must go through this veil or you won't. How God could have mercy on them. But remember what it was, that God is manifesting what was behind the veil. Watch what was behind the veil, the word. What did the veil? The word. What was it? It's in the ark. It was the word that veil hid, see? And Jesus was the word, and he is the word, and that veil, his flesh, hid it. And today the veil of traditions hides the word again, saying it's not so. But it is so. God's testifying of it, blasting himself right out as bright as a sun before everyone, and they fail to see it. So God be merciful to us. Again, paragraph 70. Now look, if Moses, oh brother, here's going to be an insult, but if Moses, as Paul said here in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, if Moses had to veil his face with that type of glory upon him, see, because that was a natural glory, that was a natural law, and if Moses, not knowing that law had to perish, but the glory was so great that it blinded the people, so they had to put a veil over his face, how much more will it be? Spiritual blinded people, That glory was to fade away, but this glory won't fade away. See, Moses had the carnal law, the condemnation, no grace, no nothing. It just condemned you. But this we're speaking about, they had no pardon, that just told you what you was. This gives you a way out. And when the word was unveiled, oh my, what kind of a face will it be? It'll have to be veiled. It's got to be veiled. Now notice, so the Spirit is veiled in the human temple. See, he speaks, he to speak the natural words with a natural veil. And again, paragraph 62. Now, and one time, and if the man walked through that veil, it was sudden death. Now it's death not to go through. Amen. If you can't break that veil of tradition, in other words, get that away from you, tradition. If you can't break through that wall of denomination to see God in his power, then it's death. Once where it was death to go in, now it's death to stay out. The whole mercy seat's setting in plain view. Everybody can see it. The veil's rent. Glory to God. The whole mercy seat comes into plain view. How God can have mercy on foul sinners as us when he himself was a mystery. And now it's in plain view or in full view revealed by his word. It's always a word constantly that is God. It's the word that opens up. If those people would have known the word of God that day when Jesus died, they'd have seen the mercy seat. They would have seen who he was. Who was that then? Why did the veil rent? Remember, it's death to go into it. Nobody could see it. Nobody saw it in a form. It was a man's back. Moses saw it in a form of a man's back. But here it is, a bleeding back. That same man, what was it? God wanted to show them the mercy seat. God wanted to show them who he was. He's speaking about, you know, when the veil in the temple rent. And it was showing the one on the cross was the one that Moses had veiled Moses, okay? So the veil in the temple from the hand of God above was rent from top to bottom and showed God in plain view. It was Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, the mercy seat. And what is it? The people were too blind to see it. Now it's repeated again, the traditions, how then the day of Pentecost, the word came and was in the form of the Son of God. And they begin to organize it at Nicaea, Rome. And the first thing, it went to Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, and so forth. It's organized traditions. A man don't know where he stands. But glory to God is promised in the last days. What he would do. He would show his word in plain view, open before us again, open it up. And they'd have only known the word. If they had only known the word, they'd have known who Jesus was. If a man only known the word of God, he'd have known the hour that we're living in and what's going on. You see, you look out in the world today, all the podcasts, all the news people, not a one of them have a clue. Even the president, none of them have a clue what's going on. But we've been instructed by the Holy Ghost coming down with a shout through the ministry of his prophet, William Branham, and now we understand, okay? They just refuse to listen to that word, their traditions. What caused those Jews to see that? What caused? Looks like they could have actually seen, because the thing was tore open. It was tore open for a purpose. And now, and one time, if a man walked through that veil, it was sudden death. Now it's death to go in, to go through it. Amen. If you can't break the veil, that veil of tradition, break through the wall of denomination to see God in his power, it's death. Once where it was death to go in, now it's death to stay out. The whole mercy seat setting in plain view. Everybody can see it. The veil's rent. Glory to God. The whole mercy seat comes into plain view. And of course, that's Christ. Now, God could have mercy on foul sinners as us when he hid himself. When he hid himself, it was a mystery. And now it's in plain view or in full view, revealed by his word. It's always a word constantly. That is God. It's the word that opens it up. If those people would have known the word of God that day when Jesus died, they'd have seen the mercy seat. They would have seen who he was. Who was that then? What did the veil rent? Remember, it's death to go into it. Nobody could see it. Moses saw it in a form. It was a whirlwind. It was a man's back. But here it is, a bleeding back, that same man. What is it? God wanted to show them the mercy seat. God wanted to show them who he was. So the veil in the temple from the hand of God above was rent from top to bottom and showed God in plain view. It was Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, the mercy seat, and what was it? The people were too blind to see it. Now it's repeated again, the traditions. Then on the day of Pentecost, the word came and was in the form of the Son of God, and they began to organize it at Nicaea, Rome. And the first thing, it went to Methodist, then Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostals, and so forth. It's organized traditions. A man don't know where he stands. But glory to God, he promised in the last days that he would do. He would show the word in plain view, open before us again. See, open it up. If they'd have only known the word of God, they'd have known who Jesus was. If a man only known the word of God, he'd know the hour that we're living in and what's going on. See, that's what I said a couple minutes ago. They just refuse to listen to that word, their traditions. You know, they're more focused on politics and everything else. What caused those Jews to see that? What caused looked like they could have actually seen? Because the thing was tore open. It was tore open for a purpose. Again, from the Unveiling 68. In type, Moses coming from the presence of God with the word of God for that age. Now watch, we're now in Exodus 19. Don't miss this. Exodus 19, Moses coming from the presence of God, or 1920, 21. Moses is coming from the presence of God. He has been into the word. The word's been wrote, and he is in the presence of God with the word. He had the word for that age. There's a word for each age. You catch that? There's a word for each age. And Moses coming forth, his face shined. So, see, the word was in him, ready to be manifested, giving out to the people the true word. God had wrote it and it was with Moses. Notice, it was with Moses and was ready to be manifested. He was the Word to them. He was the living Word, hid, veiled himself. Moses had to put a veil over his face. Why? He was the Word. Amen. Until the Word was made known, Moses had to be veiled himself. Amen. Do you see it? Whatever the Word is, it's veiled. Now think about this. Because he put the Word, he put the veil on, and they went to traditions. So on the cross, God ripped their traditions apart, the veil apart, showing it was God all along. Okay. Now, in getting back to 2 Corinthians 3:15, Paul continues, "But even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart." In other words, there is a blindness upon their heart, or rather their understanding has become darkened, as Paul will tell us shortly. "Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord," that's the understanding, when what shall turn to the Lord? Notice he is speaking about the heart, which is the understanding. "Then what happens? The veil shall be taken away. The blindness shall be taken away." In other words, you might have been raised up a Catholic, a Lutheran, or Pentecost, or whatever, but when this word came, it revealed Christ, and it just tore away all the traditions that you had. Now that's Revelation 3:18. "Anoint thine eyes with thy salve, that thou mayest see." See what? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Paragraph 65, what's this revival longing for? How could it prosper? How could it be blessed? I don't care how many impersonations is God or anything else. That's all. When Moses went out, there was a mixed multitude went out with him. But what's it done? It's Jehovah himself taking the veil off of God to show the difference between right and wrong. You see, we have people, I won't even say in this message, but you know, I will say in this message, but are holding on to Pentecostal traditions. God has come to rip that all away from them. All right? He said, "It's Jehovah himself taking the veil of God to show the difference between right and wrong, which is Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, or who's right. God's word is right. Let every man's word be a lie and mine be the truth." And God needs no interpreter. He does his own interpretation. He gives the interpretation. God unveiling himself, oh my, right in the midst of us, we see his great hand telling these things. It's got something on that tonight, see? Or I've got something on that tonight. Of how to watch the hand of God, what it does, how it unfolds itself, see? And people say, oh, that's nonsense, that's fanaticism. There's nothing to it. That's nonsense, that's Beelzebub, that's the devil, that's fortune telling, that's this. See, the same thing they said about him. In other words, every time they can't understand what you're saying about the word, what do? They blast you as a cultist or as a some type of heretic or whatever. Oh, church, and if this tape goes out, can't you see ministers of the gospel where you're living at? Can't you see the hour that we're living in? God showing himself, setting aside. Look, he took that temple veil and tore it in pieces and that they might see God in plain view, and they was too blind to see it. And he's done the same thing today, putting his word right in front, what he promised, every promise in the word laying right before us in plain view. You know what the Gentile church does? The same thing the Jewish church did. It's too blind to see it. That's all. It'll be on their hearts just as it was in that day. So basically it's a short message, but actually about 16 pages. But the main thing is, look, everything that you held dear to you, like your dad said before he died, says, "I'm unpacking. Just get rid of everything that means something to me. Just get rid of it all and put my focus on Christ." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your word. And we, again, Lord, just to repeat the message, we just turn all our traditions, all our creeds, all our dogmas. It doesn't mean a thing. We just turn our eyes upon Jesus. And that's what it's all about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.